In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. We always start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us, especially in the month of October, which is the month of the Most Holy Rosary. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. In the Hail Holy Queen, we also invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's invite Mary to pray with us and to pray for us as we embark on this new journey of a new day. Let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that is the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite to be with us the Holy Spirit. Let's invite to be with us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual guide. Among the many titles we have of the Holy Spirit that explain his purpose and function in the world, in the church, and in our own personal lives by the following. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also the gift of gifts found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor. He's also known as our consoler. He's our counselor, he's our consoler. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sanctifier, he who makes us holy. And the Holy Spirit is the interior master. In this sense, St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit, he's pleading for us with ineffable groans so we can say, Abba. So we can say, Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect and fire within our hearts. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we welcome you all to our Persevering Family Conversation, the family that prays together, stays together. And for your motivation, I promise to pray for you and all of your intentions. And I'll pray for you in the greatest of all prayers. The greatest of all prayers, my friends, is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Indeed, there is no greater prayer in the world than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. How thankful we should be as Catholics that we have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Most Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. How thankful we should be that we have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Now, I'd like to place on the altar these intentions. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would make a concerted effort to be open to the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That we might be docile to the Holy Spirit. Because our sanctification depends upon our being open and docile to God's heavenly inspirations. We might even pray, come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. My next intention, I'd like to pray that all of us will become the best teachers we possibly can. We as priests were called to pray and to preach those two P's, to pray and to preach. But also you as parents are called to be the principal teachers of your children. One of the purposes of our Persevering Family Conversation is we want to strive for an ongoing formation in our lives. An ongoing formation in our lives that we would strive to get to know our faith better so that we can share it. And no doubt, one of the best ways in which we can grow in our faith is by sharing our faith with others. By sharing our faith with others. then my last intention would be I'd like to pray with you for the conversion of sinners. Especially those who will be dying tonight or today. Let's pray fervently that those who are dying in the state of mortal sin, that they will turn to God. Lady Fatima says that many souls are lost because we do not pray or offer up enough sacrifices for them. So that should be on the top of our list in our prayer intentions, to be praying to the Lord for the conversion of sinners, but especially for deathbed sinners. For the conversion of sinners, but for deathbed sinners. All right, my friends. Yesterday, Jesus said in the Gospel, let's move into the riches of the Word of God now. Jesus said in the Gospel yesterday, I have come to cast fire on the earth. And I'm not at peace until that fire be kindled. And Jesus said, do not think that I've come for peace, but rather for division. Then Jesus says in the family of five, three will be against two and two will be against three. Father will be against son, son against father. Mother will be against daughter, and daughter will be against mother. Mother-in-law will be against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law will be against mother-in-law. So Jesus speaks very clearly that his presence in the world and in our lives will at times cause division. So let me give you an example of this, and then we'll move on to the readings for the day. This is an example that will become more and more prevalent because of the societal trends, especially the, sad to say, the promotion of the LGBT agenda, and it's very militant and growing in many places. So let me give you an example of how families will be divided because of Christ. Okay, here's the situation. Today you get in the mail an envelope, and you open it up, it's an invitation for you to go to the celebration, you might even call it what they would call the marriage celebration between your niece and her female lover. So next month, they will be united in a garden. There will be a justice of the peace there. Then after that, there's going to be a banquet, a party. So you're invited to the celebration of their commitment. And then to celebrate with all them and their relatives and friends at the party. My friends, with this, the bomb is going to explode. You, as aunt to this niece of yours, you knowing your Catholic faith, in conscience, you cannot go. Because you know that God created them male and female. The book of Genesis, a man will leave his father and mother. He will be united to his wife. What God has united, let no man rent asunder. Let no man rent asunder. So, you have made the decision, you will not go. What's going to happen? Your husband, who does not know his faith very well, your husband, who is a people pleaser, decides that he's going to go. With him will go your son, and your daughter. Whereas your teenage daughter, who's been formed well catechetically, like you, is firmly opposed to going to this celebration of two lesbians starting to live together. What's going to happen? And the principal reason why you don't want to go is because you know that God does not want you to go. You don't want to offend God. You don't want to be accomplice in what is objectively wrong. You don't want to be condoning what is evil. So you tell your husband very bluntly, you're not going. And he says, yes, you should go. Your two older siblings say, we're going. So you and your younger daughter say, we're not going. So the whole month prior to this celebration of your niece wanting to live with her lover, who's a girl, this is going to cause a division. This is going to be causing a division within your family. And there's really no way around this. There's no way of compromising. Either we are people pleasers or God pleasers. Jesus says, he who is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him on the day of judgment. Jesus says, you cannot please God and money at the same time. Now, not only is this going to cause division within your blood family, but given that you have seven other siblings and most of them are going to be going to it, they also will ostracize you, criticize you, condemn you. And they'll say, well, you go to church on Sunday. Sometimes you even go during the week. You say you love Christ. They're going to be calling you a first-class hypocrite. They're going to say that you believe in mercy. You want God to be merciful toward you. What type of love, compassion, tenderness, mercy, kindness are you denying your niece, who happens to be your goddaughter? You're the madrina. So you're going to be attacked from many different places. And the only thing I could say is, hold to your guns, be a woman of principle. Don't back down. Better to walk with our Lord carrying the cross to heaven, to be following the multitude toward the precipice of hell. We're not here, my friends, to win a popularity contest. We're not here to be applauded. We're not here to have back slapping. We're here in this life to know God's will, to embrace God's will, to love God's will, and to carry out God's will. And you may take as your models, as your examples.
I'm here to help. Get to know Siri at apple.com.
I would strongly recommend that you take as your models to emulate, to invoke, would be the saints, especially the martyrs. And I mentioned three. Saint John the Baptist. Saint John the Baptist could not approve of the union, of the sinful union of two people, as you will be opposing. Of course, it'll be a little bit different. John the Baptist opposed Herod living with his brother's wife, and you would be opposing your niece living with another girl. Another would be Thomas More. Thomas More opposed King Henry VIII, divorcing his wife, Catherine of Aragon, and living with Anne Boleyn, thereby committing adultery. Take Maria Goretti. She would not give in to the sexual advances of Alessandro Serinelli. These are all powerful examples for all of us. Powerful examples for all of us. So, I thought I would just finish up the commenting upon the gospel yesterday, because it's somewhat of a surprising, challenging gospel. You think that Jesus wants peace. Our Lord will never succumb to peer pressure or trying to please the crowd when it's a question of right and wrong. So we must strive in our lives to be faithful to the truth, faithful to our commitments, faithful to the following of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For the gospel today, is the following. The Second Vatican Council has coined this immortal expression. We have to learn how to interpret the signs of the times. That's one of the immortal sayings or expressions which has come from Vatican II. So what Jesus says is we have to be able to read the signs of the times in a spiritual sense. And this, these words would be easily understood by farmers and sailors or fishermen. Because Jesus back then would be preaching a lot to men who worked the fields as well as the fishermen he chose. In the chosen, we see Christ choosing fishermen, Peter, James, and John. So they would have to interpret the signs of the times to be able to plant as well as to fish. And he says when there's a cloud coming from, Jesus says, when there's a cloud coming from the west, you say, that it's going to rain, and it rains. And then he says when there's a wind, it's blowing in from the south. You say it's going to be hot, and so it is. Jesus says, you hypocrites. You know how to read the signs of the times. Signs of nature. But why are you not able to interpret the signs that God is sending to you? So I'd like to take that as an invitation for all of us to be able to be more and more aware of God's presence in our lives. Here's an interesting story. One occasion there was a man standing in the plaza, and it started to rain, and it was raining very hard. And the rain had already arrived at his knees, and he cried out, Lord, help me, because I don't know how to swim. So a man in a rowboat came and said, okay, why don't you come in, because it's going to be raining hard for a couple of days. And the man stood and said, no, God's going to help me. So it's raining harder and harder. The rain waved to his waist, and the man said, Lord, help me. So a man in a motorboat came and said, hey, you better get in. It's going to be raining for a couple more days. The man in the plaza said, no, thank you. God's going to help me. So it was raining harder and harder. And the rain arrived at his neck. Cried, Lord, you better help me. I'm going to drown. So a ship passed by, and he said, I'll throw you a lifesaver, grab onto it, and we'll pull you out. The man said, no. God is good. God will help me. So it was raining harder and harder, and it was already up to his forehead. So this man in the helicopter says, hey, you better grab onto the rope. We'll pull you out. And the man said, no, God will help me. So the man drowns. He goes before the Lord, and the man says, Lord, I cried out to you to help me. Why did you fail me? And the Lord said, hey, look, I sent you a rowboat, I sent you a motorboat, I sent you a ship, I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want? I really like that story. Hopefully you do also. Because God can speak to us. God can speak to us in many ways. In many ways, but unfortunately, like the gospel, as well as this story, we can be blinded and deafened to not being able to see and hear God, and hear God speaking to us. We can be blind and sometimes tone deaf. Tone deaf in the sense that sometimes we have selective hearing. We only want to hear what we want to hear, what is agreeable to our way of thinking, which is often the easiest way, trying to avoid the cross. So, on this topic, I invite you to follow the idea transmitted in the book by Brother Lawrence. And Brother Lawrence wrote that book, Living in the Presence of God. If we can live in the presence of God, in Him we live and move and have our being, then we'll be able to avoid sin and to please God in many ways. So I'd like to mention ways in which God can speak to us. Ways in which God can speak to us. The first, God can reveal His presence to us through His own creation, through the beauty of nature. If you like, you can read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, in which God, we see God as the creator. He creates the sun. It was good. He creates the moon. It was good. He creates the stars. They are good. He creates the majestic mountains. They are good. He creates the vast, immense seas. They are good. He creates the sea animals. They are good. Then the very crown of creation, the high point of creation, the summit of creation, is God creates man and then woman. He creates man and woman in His image and likeness. Then it has to be said that God created man and woman as the crown on the sixth day, but also all of the different elements in creation God created for the good of man and woman as a stepping stone. As a stepping stone. Not a stumbling block, but as a stepping stone. So that man and woman will arrive at the Creator through creation. Pope Francis wrote an encyclical, Laudate Si, related to creation and we being stewards of creation. Not destroying creation, but sustaining, maintaining, and beautifying creation, avoiding waste. And one of the saints that is most instrumental in arriving at God through creation would be Saint Francis of Assisi. The first Italian poem was actually attributed to Saint Francis, which is the Canticle of the Sun. You might even pray it, which Saint Francis calls the sun his brother, the moon his sister. He experienced a certain affinity between God's creation. But I'd like to just warn you and warn many not to fall into the error or the heresy, not to fall into the error or the heresy of pantheism. That just has to be highlighted. Pantheism would make the connection between God and creation, that God is actually creation. That we don't believe. God is the creator of all created goods, and creation reflects God's beauty. Philosophy calls it contingency. Contingency is another word for dependence, that all created things depend upon God himself. But God does not depend upon his creation. That has to be highlighted. So when you're in your daily walk, you might ask yourself in prayer, in creation, what element in creation seems to really captivate you most? What element in creation is a ladder by which you can ascend to arrive at the Creator? I'd like to mention one among many. I think all of us have had the opportunity to walk along the seashore. I was brought up and raised on the Atlantic, now I'm on the Pacific Ocean. One of the things that captivates me most about the ocean is the huge expanse of the water that goes beyond the eye can see. But also, I'm very impressed by the waves. The power of those waves that come from afar, they arrive at the shore and they break. Then they recede going back into the depths of the ocean. Those huge waves that come and they break on the shore and they return makes me think about God. Makes me think about God. In more than one way. First is the immense power of one of those waves. God, this is related to one of God's many attributes, and it is God's omnipotence. And when they say God's omnipotence means that God is all-powerful. That's right. God is all-powerful. His omnipotence. God is all-powerful. So that immense wave that is about to break on the shore makes me think of how powerful God really is. And how weak we are. And how dependent we should be on the omnipotence of God. But also it makes me think about God is eternal. In this sense, that those waves, they come in and they go out. They come in and they go out. They come in and they go out. Makes me think about another attribute of God in God's eternity. Meaning that God has no beginning and God has no end. God has no beginning and God has no end. So my friends, what we're talking about today is we're trying to apply the gospel which our Lord says, you're able to read the signs of the times. When the cloud comes, it's going to rain. When the wind comes from the south, it's going to be hot. If we can read the signs of nature, why cannot we read the signs of God, the signs of the Messiah, the signs of the coming of God in our lives? So that would be one way. Is how God can speak to us through the beauty of nature. So I invite all of you to pray over this and even ask the Holy Spirit, what specific element of God's creation nature seems to speak most powerfully to you. Most powerfully to you. I mentioned one among many. One of the other elements in nature that really impresses me is the whole idea of the sun, but that'll be in another talk. I love the sun. How the sun really does speak to me about God. The second way that God can speak to us, the Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks about it with respect to the day of the Lord. And what the Catechism means is this. God speaks to us through circumstances. God speaks to us through circumstances. If you want to perturb me, to upset me, say, okay, Father Broom, now good luck. Father Broom, good luck. That perturbs me. That bothers me. Because I don't believe in luck. Technically, that's a theological error to say good luck. I don't believe in luck at all. I believe, my friends, in what is called divine providence. That nothing happens by chance. Absolutely nothing happens by chance. Nothing. Nothing happens by chance. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, not even a, he knows how many hairs we have on our head. He even knows that one, when one hair falls from our head, he knows where and when it fell. Nothing happens by chance, but rather by divine providence. That God leads everything to his end and purpose. Nothing happens by chance. So be aware of God speaking to you today. Today, my friends. God will speak to you today, no doubt about it. He'll speak to you through persons, places, things, and circumstances. Persons, places, things, and circumstances. None of this good luck, Father. Because luck does not exist. So let me tell you now a story in the life of a saint. Story in the life of a saint. So how this saint was able to interpret God's will by circumstances. Among the early companions of Saint Ignatius, the company of Jesus, one of the best, the greatest experts in giving this spiritual exercise after St. Ignatius was St. Peter Favre. He didn't live a long life, but after he was ordained a priest and did the exercise with Ignatius, he became a real expert. He became a real expert in the spiritual exercises. And he was sought after by nobles and kings and queens in Europe. But he lived poverty and dressed in a very simple, almost shabby fashion, with a black robe. So one occasion he was invited to give a retreat. I think it was to the king or queen or some very noble person who lived in a very noble, it would have been probably a castle in the mid, because this is the 1500s. So Father Pierre Favre, he knocks on the door. Then the porter opens up the door and he says, I'm Peter Favre, called to give the exercises. And the porter says, I don't know you. I don't even know who you are. Kind of like look like a tramp or a beggar. So the porter basically slammed the door in the face of Father Pierre Favre. Now, what would you do? Our natural reaction would be anger. Maybe even rage. That poor, insignificant porter slamming the face on one of the greatest experts in the exercises in the world, slamming it in my face. How dare him? How dare you? But these were the thoughts that came to Pierre Fabre. How many times has God knocked on the door of my heart? Waiting to get in. And I've closed the door on him. Possibly many times. And then he went on to pray. He said, I pray, Lord, that when I die, that you will open up the gateway to heaven for me. And I also pray that you will open up the door to heaven for that porter. And then as it happened, the door was eventually open, and Father Pierre Fabre was able to give the spiritual exercises to nobility. That's a really good story. Because he was keenly aware of the fact that even though that was a rejection, it was a humiliation, God was inviting him to practice humility, patience, and mercy. God was allowing him to practice humility, mercy, and patience as a means of that rejection. So I'd like to move on to another way in which God speaks to us. We're talking today, my friends, about the gospel and being able to read the signs of the times. All right, this is very, very well known, very famous, but I'd like you to try to apply it to yourself. God speaks to us through the Word of God, but also God can speak to us by Lectio Divina. And God can speak to us, my friends, by reading good classical spiritual literature. God can speak to us by reading the lives of the saints. The case in point is the following. You probably know it, but it's good to refresh our memory and see how God can work in our lives in the same way. Saint Ignatius of Loyola. He was wounded in the Battle of Pamplona. His legs were seriously damaged. He was operated upon. His convalescence was painstakingly slow, his recovery or convalescence. So he was brought to read The Life of Christ by Ludolf of Saxony. But against his wishes, he wanted to read these romantic tales. But rather, he was brought The Lives of the Saints. So God spoke to St. Ignatius of Loyola by that providential accident. By that providential accident, yes, but also God spoke to him through the silent pondering, reading, reflection, lectio divina, you might call, of reading the lives of the saints. God has many ways to speak to us. Many ways. Our God is very creative. We have to be open to his creativity. And Ignatius was known to have said, well, if Francis did it, so will I. If Dominic did it, so will I. If Augustine did it, so will I. If the desert fathers were able to do that, so will I. So Ignatius of Loyola, God spoke to him through this providential accident and through suffering. We learned yesterday through St. Paul, the cross said, the cross and the suffering is a means by which we can really grow in sanctification and holiness. But God also spoke to St. Ignatius of Loyola. Through silence and reading and reflection and prayer of the lives of the saints. So that's a reflection today, my friends. A reflection today, my friends, is Jesus says, you're able to read the signs of the times in nature, that it's going to be hot or it's going to rain. We should also pray for the grace to be aware of the way God speaks to us. And I've mentioned three today. Through the beauty of nature, through circumstances, and through silent meditative reading. May our prayer today be the following. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.